Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, May 24, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. The ministry of the spiritual life and suffering for blessing. The ministry of the spiritual life and suffering for blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 7. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels, for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. Verse 8. We are afflicted, oppressed in every way. That's phlebo. But we absolutely are not crushed. That's stenokereo. We have great inner pressure in our soul, that's apareo, but we are not totally despairing, and that's exapareo. And then verse 9, we are persecuted, dioko, but we absolutely are not enkatalepo. We are not abandoned, deserted, forsaken. Well, this is the paragraph on the ministry of the spiritual life and suffering for blessing. A fantastic study. And while the Apostle Paul is, by interpretation, talking about himself as a communicator of the Word of God, and he's talking about pastor-teacher Timothy and pastor-teacher Titus, that's the interpretation. But by application, this applies to all of you when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. As you live that unique spiritual life and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, well, you will attain spiritual maturity. And when you get to that point, now God is free to give you a category of greater grace blessing that is very, very unique. You see, there's no suffering in heaven. In heaven, there's no suffering. The only place God can ever bless us with suffering is in the short time we're here. And the only people that will have this special category of greater grace blessing are those who live the spiritual life, who grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, who live by the power of the Spirit of God, who consistently and faithfully metabolize doctrine, and fulfill the ultimate objective, having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. And you, with that virtue love brought to completion in your heart, well then, when you have these spiritual hurdles that God gives you, God wants to give all winner believers a chance to run hurdles. And I'm happy about that. I ran hurdles when I was in college, but God wants all of you to grow up and for you to run hurdles, spiritual hurdles. But to clear those hurdles with precisely correct procedure, why, you must have God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of your soul, specifically virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, which is the great motivating virtue. Impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. And occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of that is sharing the happiness of God. When you have occupation with Jesus Christ, you will share the happiness of God no matter what's going on in your life. Now, it's not always adversity and suffering. God gives you times of great prosperity. Why, look at all the millionaires in here. Great prosperity. And there are times when you're healthy, you're strong as a horse, and there's times you're not so healthy. There's times when you have all kinds of, you have no problem with material things, you have more than enough, and there are times when you have very, very little. But it doesn't make any difference, because you're occupied with Jesus Christ. You share the happiness of God. No matter what's going on in your personal life, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in Las Vegas, no matter what's going on around the world, you have virtue love brought to completion in your soul. You have occupation with Christ. You share the happiness of God. And therefore, even in the worst of circumstances, and suffering for blessing, whether it's providential preventative suffering, momentum testing, or evidence testing, the highest of all, you clear those hurdles and glorify God to the maximum. When God is free to give you this category of greater grace blessing, this is when you glorify God to the maximum in your life. So when that comes to you, you just say, wahoo. Wahoo. We've made it. God is free to pour this out. And now, this is a chance for you to glorify God to the maximum. In that first part of half of verse 8, it says, we are afflicted, oppressed, phleboed in every way, but we absolutely are not stenokoreoed, crushed. The verb phlebo came to mean to be afflicted, to be hard-pressed, to be oppressed. This affliction and oppression is suffering for blessing that God gives to the spiritually mature believer. In context, the subject we refers to communicators of the Word of God. Specifically, Paul's talking about himself and Apollos and Timothy and Titus. But by application, it includes suffering for blessing for all the royal family of God, as you live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity. This affliction and oppression is not a bad thing. This is suffering for blessing. This is a great thing. It's designed for suffering for blessing in the life of the spiritually mature believer. To qualify for this suffering for blessing depends on you living the spiritual life by God's grace and by God's power, knowing and using God's problem-solving devices, having the problem-solving devices of God out on the forward line of troops, the flat line of your soul. The spiritually mature believer shares the happiness of God, whether he is in adversity and suffering or whether he is in prosperity. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. He shares the happiness of God. So we are afflicted, fleeboed, oppressed in every way, but we absolutely are not crushed, and that is denokoreo. Denokoreo means to be crushed. The objective negative oo slams the door, but we absolutely are not crushed. We absolutely have not fallen apart. The filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in the heart, God's problem-solving devices, equalizes the pressures, the afflictions, the oppressions of suffering for blessing. Only by the grace and power of God can the mature believer clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing in precisely correct procedure using God's problem-solving devices. So we are afflicted, oppressed, fleeboed in every way, suffering for blessing, but we absolutely are not crushed, denokoreo. We have great inner pressures, aporeo, in our souls, but we are not totally despairing, exoporeo. Aporeo is great inner pressure and despair. Once again, this is a part of suffering for blessing, that the spiritually mature believer is qualified to receive. The spiritually mature believer will have aporeo, but he absolutely does not have exoporeo. While aporeo is used for suffering for blessing of the spiritually mature believer, exoporeo, the spiritually mature believer, does not totally fall apart. The spiritually mature believer will have inner pressure and despair from time to time as a part of his suffering for blessing, but he will not be totally despairing. Suffering for blessing is designed to teach us, to depend upon the Lord and not ourselves. It is designed to teach us to depend upon divine solutions and not human solutions. It is designed to teach us to depend on the grace and the power of God and not on human ability and power. The grace and power of God has been made available to every church age believer to live this unique spiritual life of the church age so that you receive suffering for blessing as a spiritually mature believer and the opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. The grace provision of the filling of the Holy Spirit, the grace provision of metabolized doctrine in the heart, God's problem-solving devices, enables the winner believer to receive suffering for blessing and the opportunity of glorifying God. The only solution to your problem is the grace and power of God. God blesses the winner believer with suffering for blessing because he wants you to concentrate on what he has provided in his grace for you. The grace and power of God is sufficient for you as a spiritually mature believer to meet all the different categories of suffering for blessing, 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. And then verse 9, we are diokoed, we are persecuted, but we absolutely are not abandoned, deserted, forsaken. The verb dioko means to persecute someone. And once again, by interpretation, this persecution, this suffering for blessing, refers to the Lord's faithful communicators of the Word of God. By application, this persecution, suffering for blessing, refers to all believers who live the spiritual life for the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity from time to time. This is the highest honor that God can give to the winner believer. In every generation, winner believers living the spiritual life will receive persecution, suffering for blessing. And when the spiritually mature believer clears the hurdle of suffering for blessing, he glorifies God to the maximum. Now, the ruler of this world is a fallen angel, Satan. And Satan, as the ruler of planet Earth, does everything possible to neutralize, discredit, and stop the church age believer from living the spiritual life. That's 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. The thorn in the flesh. And the Apostle Paul, the greatest believer on the earth, was going through evidence testing. And that evidence testing is actually administered by Satan himself. And Satan sent a demon to torment the Apostle Paul day and night. And this torment was so horrible that Paul prayed 3 times for God to take it away. And then God spoke to Paul and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul realized and got the point. Paul was physically very weak, but he says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong, because I operate by the grace and power of God to meet all of these various categories of momentum testing and evidence testing. So Satan, as the ruler of planet Earth, does everything possible to neutralize, discredit, and stop the church age believer from living the spiritual life. All of his strategies are designed to get the believer into his cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. All the forces of hell, angelic and human, believers and unbelievers, are concentrated against the Lord's faithful servants and the winner believers living the spiritual life. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, having God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of the soul, enables the winner believer to handle this persecution from Satan, from demons, from human beings, from both believers and unbelievers living in the cosmic system. Clearing the hurdle of persecution by the grace and power of God intensifies the fantastic blessings of the winner believer. So Paul says in verse 9, we are diokoed, we are persecuted, suffering for blessing, but we absolutely are not anchatalepoed, abandoned, deserted, forsaken. Anchatalepo means to leave behind, to forsake, to abandon, to desert. The present tense is the nomic present, and the nomic present introduces an axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this: the winner believer receiving persecution, suffering for blessing, will never, never be abandoned, forsaken, or deserted by God. The passive voice, the voice of grace. He receives the action of never being abandoned by God during times of persecution, suffering for blessing. So again, verse 9 says, we are persecuted, suffering for blessing, but we are absolutely not abandoned, deserted, forsaken by our Lord. And that brings us to the last half of verse 9. And this says in the King James, cast down, but not destroyed. Now this last part of verse 9, this word to cast down is the present passive participle of katabalo. And this is a word that had a very special use in the first century church. It doesn't go on today. K-A-T-A-B-A-L-L long O. Katabalo. This is a verb that means to throw something down on someone. This was the verb for the execution in the first century called stoning. And the Apostle Paul was executed by stoning. And the people left, they thought he was dead. But then the Lord resuscitated him. He got up, and when they all left, he got up and walked home. Because, why? Because God still had a plan and purpose for his life. So they killed him, they katabaloed him, they stoned him, and he was dead. And then Jesus Christ resuscitated him because, hey, I still have a plan for your life. You get back down there and carry out that plan. So he did. Now there were other winner believers who were katabaloed too, such as Stephen. Stephen, a great, great winner believer. He was also katabaloed, stoned to death. And God's plan for his life was over. So this is a special type of suffering for blessing. Katabalo. So it means to throw down. And specifically, this refers to the Apostle Paul and winner believers of the first century receiving the crushing blows of being executed by stoning. The Apostle Paul was executed by stoning in Acts 14. Turn over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And of course, the execution was carried out by religious people. It's going to get worse. Verse 19. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they won the mob over. And they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. Well, he was dead. He was dead, and he went up to the throne of God with the Lord. He looked around and saw all these things, and God says, now, my plan for you is not over. You get back down there and get back to work. You got a lot of studying and teaching to do. So thinking he was dead, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and said, hey, that was fun, and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Now that's the Apostle Paul. Now he was resuscitated, and that's why this one applies specifically to Paul when he says in verse 9, we are struck down. Katabalo, but not destroyed. Apolumi. Paul was resuscitated. Now, there's another illustration of a winner believer, and this is suffering for blessing. Stephen was a great, great winner believer. Turn over to Acts chapter 7. This is one of those passages I get goosebumps. What a believer, Stephen. Acts chapter 7. Let's start at verse 51. By the way, Stephen is giving a sermon, and the sermon is so great, they killed him. Now, if I give a really, really great sermon, if you kill me, I'll know that was a good one. Acts 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? Dioko. They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but you have not obeyed it. Verse 54. When they heard this, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Spirit, looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now this just... This is the best. What is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? He's in his session. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. But when a winner believer like Stephen is coming home, Jesus Christ stands up in honor of this winner believer. Stephen is the best of the best. Yes, he's going to be executed. It's not the sin unto death. This is dying grace all the way of a winner believer. He's not going to be resuscitated. The plan of God for his life is over. But he glorifies God to the maximum. And Jesus Christ stands up to honor this hero, this winner believer. But Stephen, filled with the Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Not sitting, standing. And at this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to caraballo him, stone him, execute him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is Saul, the unbeliever Saul. Saul was right there with this religious mob, approving everything that was going on. While they were stoning him, caraballo, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Same thing Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ had perfect, impersonal love for all, even the scum that crucified him. And Stephen had perfect, impersonal love for all. So he cried out with impersonal love for all. He had virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died physical death. And chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was there giving his approval to his execution. And this is why when the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus met Saul of Tarsus, this is when Saul of Tarsus and Jesus Christ said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul believed in Jesus Christ, changed his name from Saul to Paul, the little. And in this is why he writes, I am the worst of all sinners. The Apostle Paul, the worst, as Saul, the worst of all sinners. So the present tense of kataballo is a customary present. It does not say that something is happening, but that something does happen or has happened. In the first century church, winner believers from time to time received the persecution of being kataballoed, stoned to death. Executed by stoning, such as the Apostle Paul, who was resuscitated, and such as Stephen. The passive voice, they received the action of being stoned, being struck down with rocks, and the participle, once again, is independent, an independent participle, or an absolute participle. And then we have the conjunction Allah, the strongest conjunction in the Greek, with the objective negative uk and Arntin Gingrich on page 594 says this presents a very, very strong contrast. But not, we are kataballoed, but not apolumied. A-P-O-L-L-U-M-I. Apolumi. And apolumi means to destroy. At Lystra, Paul was stoned to death, but God resuscitated him. God still had a plan and a purpose for Paul's life. The grace and power of God characterizes the life of the winner believer. So 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 says, we are afflicted, oppressed, fleeboed in every way, but we absolutely are not stenokoreoed, crushed. We have great inner pressures in our soul, apareo, but we are not totally despairing, ex apareo. We are persecuted, dioko, but we absolutely are not ankatalepod, abandoned, deserted, forsaken by God. We are kataballos, struck down, executed through stoning, but not destroyed, apolumied. All right. One. The winner believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will receive persecution from time to time and suffering for blessing. And this persecution and suffering for blessing will come from demons, from unbelievers living in the cosmic system, from believers living in the cosmic system. So the winner believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will receive persecution and suffering for blessing from time to time from demons, unbelievers living in the cosmic system, believers living in the cosmic system. Two, when you are living the spiritual life, that is, living your life by the grace and power of God, Then any suffering that comes to you is designed for your blessing. For your blessing. For the correct application of God's problem-solving devices to the situation. So when you are living the spiritual life, that is living your life by the grace and power of God, then any suffering that comes to you is designed for your blessing. For the correct application of God's problem-solving devices to the situation. This is where you think divine viewpoint, think Bible doctrine, think God's problem-solving devices. 3. All suffering for blessing is designed by God for the believer's advance to spiritual maturity and the glorification of God. All suffering for blessing is designed by God for the believer's advance to spiritual maturity and the glorification of God. Four. Suffering for blessing is always designed to advance you spiritually by putting muscle on your faith. Muscle on your faith. Maximum faith rest life. Now, when your suffering is more than you can bear, then this is a different category of suffering. This is punitive suffering. And punitive suffering is brought on by your own bad decisions. In other words, punitive suffering is something that we do to ourselves through our own arrogance and through the influence of evil. God never, ever gives the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, more suffering than he can bear. So this means that only the arrogant believer, the reversionistic believer, living in Satan's cosmic system, gets to the point where the suffering is unbearable. Point 5. Punitive suffering, suffering you cannot bear, is God's wake-up call for you. Punitive suffering, suffering you cannot bear, is God's wake-up call for you. Divine discipline is unbearable suffering. God is trying to get your attention. Wake up. You're not living the spiritual life. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. You're living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. 6. However, God never, never gives the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer, living the spiritual life, he never gives you more suffering than you can bear or handle. God never gives the winner believer living the spiritual life more suffering than he can handle or bear. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No testing has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able to handle or bear. But with the testing, he will provide the way of escape also. What is the way of escape? God's problem-solving devices, God's grace and God's power. But with the testing, God, he will provide the way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. It's bearable suffering. Suffering for blessing for the winner believer is bearable suffering. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able to bear or handle. That's suffering for blessing. When you can't handle suffering, well, that's punitive suffering. 7. So what God does not remove from the spiritually mature believer, he intends for him to bear, to endure, to handle by the grace and by the power of God. So what God does not remove from the spiritually mature believer, he intends for him to bear, to endure, to handle by the grace and the power of God. 2 Corinthians 12. We've seen this. Let's look at it again. 2 Corinthians 12. And by the way, this also is the chapter that explained when the Apostle Paul was caraballoed, executed by stoning. The first part of chapter 12. Let's take a look at that. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Yeah, he knows him. It's him. He'd been caraballoed, stoned, executed, and now he is dead and he is in heaven, third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He, this is Paul, heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. Here he is, he's in heaven, he's learning things. Oh boy, this is really great stuff. But the Lord said, don't talk about this when you get back. Now, verse 7. To keep me from becoming arrogant. I mean, that's easy to become arrogant. By the way, have you ever had somebody have a special meeting because he died and went to heaven, and then he came back and he tells you everything he saw there? I went to one of those meetings. This guy, got in all the churches that he had died, gone to heaven, and now he's going to tell everybody what he saw. Well, the thing is, if the Lord wouldn't allow Paul to come back and tell, why is this guy allowed to come back and tell? I went and sat there anyway, and he even had people come up, feel my head. Yeah. Oh. To keep me from becoming arrogant because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Now, what is the thorn in the flesh? A messenger from Satan, a demon, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but the Lord did not take it away. But he assured me, the Lord assured me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. And then he describes these in insults. This is people testing. This is people who slander you, malign you, judge you. And if you're a winner believer, you'll be maligned, slandered, judged by not only unbelievers, but by many believers as well. In hardship, this is pressures of thought. This is thought testing. In persecution, this is disaster testing. In difficulties, this is system testing. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Because he's facing all of this suffering for blessing by the grace and power of God. Paul is saying, hey, I am weak, weak, weak. This thorn in the flesh, this evidence testing, is wiping me out from my human strength. But when I'm weak, that's when I am strong. 8, since there is no suffering in the eternal state, God can only bless the believer through suffering here in time. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There's no suffering in heaven. Since there is no suffering in the eternal state, God can only bless the believer through suffering right now in time. 9, there is no suffering too great for the grace and power of God to resolve. There is no suffering too great for the grace and power of God to resolve. So you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You're living by the power of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue, love, joy, happiness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. You're living by spiritual skill number 2, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistently and faithfully assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Living the lifestyle of wisdom is far greater than any suffering or pressure or disaster we will face in this life. Principle. When you face suffering, suffering never leaves the Christian as it found him. Suffering never leaves the Christian as it found him. As a result of suffering, we will either become better or worse. When you suffer, you will never be the same again. You will either advance or you will retrogress. So let's take a look at that. 1, if during suffering, the believer reacts through arrogance, through bitterness, through self-pity. He becomes a loser and starts to go backward. Now you're going the wrong way. If during suffering, the believer reacts through arrogance, bitterness, or self-pity, he becomes a loser and starts to go backward. He is set back in his spiritual life and in his life in general. In other words, hitting the hurdle of suffering for blessing, he retrogresses. Clearing the hurdle of suffering for blessing requires maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, God's problem-solving devices. 2, no one stands still under suffering, pressure, adversity, or persecution. You either move forward or you go backward. No one stands still under suffering, pressure, adversity, or persecution. You either move forward or you go backward. 3, Suffering for blessing in the life of the winner believer is a guarantee from God that he has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. Suffering for blessing in the life of the winner believer is a guarantee from God that he has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, impersonal love for all, like the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or Stephen, as he's being executed by stoning, and he says the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said, and they were the scum. But he had impersonal love for all, great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ, and the other side of the coin, sharing the happiness of God, Christ. 4, therefore suffering for blessing becomes a major factor in the winner believer's glorification of God. Therefore suffering for blessing becomes a major factor in the winner believer's glorification of God. So there are two basic categories of suffering. Suffering for blessing, for the believer living the spiritual life, and suffering for discipline, punitive suffering, for failing to live the spiritual life. Which category of suffering we receive is based on the free will decisions we make from our own volition. Good decisions from a position of strength to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills results in suffering for blessing. Bad decision from a position of weakness to live in Satan's cosmic system and by the sin nature with its lust patterns results in punitive suffering, suffering for discipline, divine discipline. So this all comes under the principle of the law of volitional responsibility. The law of volitional responsibility. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 7. Stop being deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. This is the principle of the law of volitional responsibility. So, 1, every human being must take the responsibility for his own decisions and his own actions in life. Every human being must take the responsibility for his own decisions and his own actions in life. You must take full responsibility for your own wrong decisions related to your associations, the people you hang out with, your activities, your motives, your functions in life. 2, in God's plan for your life, sin, human good, and evil are all absolutely forbidden. In God's plan for your life, sin, human good, and evil are all absolutely forgiven. These are all a part of the essence of the sin nature. Area of weakness producing personal sin. area of strength producing human good and evil. Living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, is absolutely forbidden. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. But when you are living out of fellowship with God in the cosmic system, you are grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. And we're commanded to stop grieving the Spirit, stop quenching the Spirit. Now, it is inevitable that throughout our life as a Christian, all of us will sin. We all sin, and it's inevitable we will perform human good and be influenced by evil from time to time. That's inevitable. This demands God's problem-solving devices. This demands the use of rebound. And the problem-solving device of rebound solves the problem of sin. So, keep short account. Sure, you're going to sin from time to time. All right, rebound. Rebound quickly. Don't stay out. The longer you stay out, now you're getting living in the cosmic system, and then you start into reversionism. But you sin, rebound. Keep short account. Get right back into fellowship and get moving. We all sin. Now, there was a family I knew when I was going to Washington State University, the Kelso family. They were a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful family. Ellen Kelso was just called home to be with the Lord not too long ago. And she was a winner believer, the best of the best. And it was actually going out to they had a farm outside of Pullman, and I would go out to, they were believers in the church, and her husband Dale was one of the deacons at Bethany Bible Church, and we became great friends, and we went fishing together, and they were a great family. Well, I was out there, and we would go downstairs, and Ellen said, "How would you like to listen to Bible class?" I said, "Well, all right." So she put on one of the Colonel's reel-to-reel class and sat down there and listened. And I go, "Gee, that's great." So I said, "Can I come out again and listen to another one?" God, first time I heard it, I turned to Ellen, I go, "Now that's the way the Bible should be taught. I like that." So I went back and went back and went back, and then one time she goes, "You know, you can order your own." "I can?" So I started ordering my own. Well, now she is the whole family, great, great, great believers. And but they had some other great believers. They get together and they would play pinochle. No. Bridge. They would play bridge. And it was cutthroat bridge. The women against the men. And I asked her about this. She says, "Nah, when Ray comes over and we play bridge, I get out of fellowship," and they stay for the whole weekend. We play bridge for the whole weekend. "I get out of fellowship. I don't rebound till they go home." Okay. Now, I don't suggest you do that. Keep short accounts. Get back into fellowship with God. And I guess at the memorial service, Debbie's sister went to it. It was a fantastic, wonderful memorial service. And Ellen and she loved me. She loved me. I know, because she pulled tricks on me all the time. And her daughter spent quite a bit of time talking about all these tricks that between Ellen and Dick Olson that went on, and I guess the place just cracked up and was laughing all the way through the memorial service. She was a very unique and wonderful lady. She did so many things to me that eventually I got a bunch of guys together. I said, we're going to go out and we're going to... You know what taking somebody for a ride is? In college, you take them for a ride? Well, they would do this with the guy who was going to get married. They'd go get the guy and put him on a board and then cover him with all kinds of ketchup and mustard and honey and all this stuff, and then take him over to the gal's house where you're going to get married. Well, we took Ellen. I said, let's take Ellen for a ride. So I had about five big, strong guys. She was a big woman. There were guys flying all over, hitting the wall. They grabbed the arms. Hey, throw them away. Get their legs. She kicked them up. It took quite a while. We finally got her on the board and tied up, and all of the ketchup and mustard and honey and everything all over. Then we took her to Pastor Breckel's house and laid her down in the front of the door of Pastor Breckel's house and rang the doorbell. And then we left. She was laying there. And Ron came out and he looked down and he goes, Ellen? She goes, hi, Pastor. That got back a little bit what she was doing to me, but that. She was a fantastic, fantastic lady. And she will have crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, as will her husband Dale. They were the best of the best. So it's inevitable that throughout our life as a Christian, we will sin, perform human good, and be influenced by evil. But this demands the use of rebound, which solves the problem of sin, and living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, which solves the problems of human good and evil. 3, the law of volitional responsibility is punitive suffering that deals with the consequences of sin, human good, and evil, and bad decisions in our lives. The law of volitional responsibility is punitive suffering that deals with the consequences of sin, human good, and evil, and bad decisions in our life. 4, all of our sins were paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Yet, all of our sins have consequences for which the individual who commits them must take full responsibility. All of our sins were paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Yet, all of our sins have consequences for which the individual who commits them must take full responsibility. Turn over to Colossians 3:25 and we will end with this tonight. Colossians 3:25. Colossians 3:25. For the one who does wrong will receive the consequences of that wrong which he has done. And there is no partiality from God. The one who does wrong will receive the consequences of that wrong which he has done. And there is no partiality from God. So point four, all of our sins were paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ in his work on the cross. However, all of our sins have consequences for which the individual who commits them must take full responsibility. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace to us. Thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping in your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.